We are recording this session at the Etch Family Ministry Conference, which actually is really appropriate because we're going to be discussing family ministry and developing that for your church and your team. And I am joined today by the entire team from Houston's First Baptist Church. We have with us today Melinda Skurlock, who has served as director of preschool and kindergarten at Houston's First Baptist Church for 8 years. She's got more than 300 teachers, directors, and employees under her leadership. Oversees a six-day-a-week preschool programming and is responsible for over 1,000 children coming through the preschool doors from Sunday to Sunday. That sounds like a lot.
That is a lot.
It is. Well,
I had
glad you're here. Now you know all that you do, right?
Wow.
We also have Chad Overton, our good friend. Chad's a minister to children at Houston's First Baptist Church. He loves all things ministry and leadership, and his favorite part of ministry is working with his amazing staff. How great is that?
Man, this is great. Love it.
Do you guys feel the love?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Definitely. He bought me coffee. Yes.
Chad is also all about developing leaders and getting to do ministry alongside his wife and their two teenage kids. His ministry and leadership development techniques have been proven very effective, and leaders are emerging from all around him. Tony Bianco. Tony.
Yes,
he's been
sir.
Here. He's been in middle school ministry for 12 years. He's a former Apple expert, radio DJ, and technology reviewer. Tony is also the author of the Family Technology Plan. So, Tony, we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Last but certainly not least, the one, the only, Justin Holcomb. Justin has worked in ministry for 15 years, 14 of those serving in full-time student ministry. He's led ministries with attendances ranging from single digits to hundreds. Regardless of the numbers, he has a passion for students to know Christ, to know Jesus, to grow in their walk with him, and to give it away in their everyday lives. Guys, thank you, all four of you, for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks Chuck.
Appreciate it. Sorry to wear you out with our bio there, man.
Who?
I got you tired.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for coming, and we'll see you next time. Now, we want to talk today about how ministers can work together. So how we can tear down silos. Right? We have so many churches that function with kids in middle school and students and all ministries divided and not on the same page. And we see the need. You guys have lived through the process of coming together and to see how there is a better way to do ministry. And so we want to hear from you what you've done, what you're experiencing, and what's happening. So let's start with saying, how do you work together in your four areas to do what's best for the families in your church? How do you work together?
Yeah, it's really good. You know,
John.
I'll start the, we meet weekly together as a team with our teams and then together as leaders of these various different ministries, you know, and then we also go offsite quarterly to just dream and to come up with different ideas. And that's just one of several things that we do to work together as a team.
A lot of it's purposeful. Like, you have to be intentional if you don't want silos in your church. And so being intentional about talking with one another, sharing ideas about events, looking for input, as well as looking for feedback and things for the things that you do or wanting to do. Because ultimately, the families that are in my ministry or the student ministry as a whole are also in preschool ministry and children's ministry. So it's the same families. And so we should have a common kind of goal behind what we're doing.
Hmm. Yeah, we're really intentional also with how we do with parents. We want parents to be sure that they understand what we're doing. And so that means that that we're intentional of knowing each other's plans and what we're trying to accomplish in each ministry and working together so that parents can understand that and trust us with their kids. So just like to Chad's point, us meeting together and being around each other and knowing those things and the trust that we can have with each other is a big deal.
So you guys, this isn't brand new for you. You've been working on this now for several years, about 4 years, with the four of you together, intentionally coming together. How did that get started? Who had the idea? What was the motivation behind coming together? And then was that something that everyone agreed on immediately? How did you get there?
Yeah, Melinda, why don't you talk about just somebody championing NextGen and see how that works
out? Well, actually, Chad had this idea, not that I'm... Anyway, you had this idea a long time ago. He used to talk about it all the time. We just need a next-gen pastor. You remember that?
Yeah.
But when Doug, our supervisor, came on board, I mean, he really had a vision. And he put us through the process kind of slowly. but he really had such a great vision and such great leadership. He's gotten us in this place, actually. It's the right place, but he's gotten us there, I feel like, for sure.
So family ministry is kind of a perspective, right? I mean, it kind of has its own look in each of your individual areas and then for you together as a group. What does it look like for each of you individually? Let's start with preschool and work up by age around the room. So what does it look like in your area?
Well, as you can imagine, it's very, very important to connect to the preschool family. First of all, you know, you're teaching the children to trust, but you've got to have that trust of the parents, so they're not going to leave that precious little angel with you. They might leave first graders with the children's division, but they're not going to leave the preschooler. So we've got to win that trust of those parents. So forming that relationship with that parent as best as we can, communicating with them and just, you know, winning them over, really, and just through Sunday mornings, just having those conversations, through having the best volunteers that we can have and coordinators, just forming those relationships.
You know, I'd say in children's ministry, we're very intentional on not over-programming. And so, you know, we don't want it just to be another thing during the week. And so we want to be super intentional about that. We don't want to add another thing to our family's already busy week. And so that's been super, super important for us just in the next gen ministry, specifically in children's ministry for sure.
Yeah, for middle school ministry, try to include parents in things that we're already doing as to not add another thing to their plate. And so some different kind of tag-along events and different things like that, as well as, you know, providing unique opportunities for families to be a part of what we're already doing with their students.
Yeah, building trust. You're hearing it across the board with families. Mm-hmm. is a big deal. And the more that you can involve them in what you're doing in your programs or events, even if it's on Sundays, just doing anything you can to invite them in to build that trust with them. Walls are formed, especially as they get a little older, and what how much they're going to, I don't know, engage or want you to be involved in their lives. And so you having the trust of the family then also gives you the opportunity to speak into the life of the student. And so really trying to build programs and events, but even outside of that, just anything that you can have that communication and just the trust of the parents is a huge deal for us.
And so the assumption is the fact that you guys are doing this and you're continuing to do it and you're here to talk about it is that it's going well. Yes, you're seeing good results. Yeah. What kind of results have you seen? How do things look differently now in the families that you're ministering to as a result of having worked together?
Yeah, I think understanding that we're trying to take our kids deep and then allowing God to send us the numbers, because how is that not God honoring if we're developing disciples that are going and making disciples? When they go deep, God says, then I'm going to send you more kids, because that's exactly the call that I've given them. And I think you would see that all across the board from the four people standing at this table.
Yeah.
We do a couple of events that are kind of also cross ministry. And so, for example, we do a kind of a preteen and middle school ministry event. It's a camp together. It's two camps, but one location. And so events like that where families can kind of see and get a taste of the other ministry that they're either going to for the first time or for the second time or third time, whatever that is for their child, helps them understand and see kind of where we're going as a bigger picture as well, and just reinforces that trust.
Yeah, so you have some of your areas bump up against each other.
Yeah.
Preschool, kids, right. middle school, student ministry.
Yeah.
So do you work more closely with that person who's adjacent to you with kids moving through the system?
It definitely helps. You know, you want to work all together and definitely understanding what Melinda does in preschool where, you know, that doesn't bump up against a high school student.
Directly,
or a student, but at the same time, understanding where she's at and what her role is and what she's trying to accomplish in students' lives as well as in parents' lives definitely helps with that. And so the more that we can know about each other, the more that we can understand the areas that of ministry that are happening, the better it is for the transitions for those students, the better it is for the transitions with the parents. The handoffs are important. When Melinda hands a preschooler off to Chad, she's built the trust, but now she's handing them off to Chad. And so that transition's a big deal. Same with children to middle school into high school, and then high school into college. All of those transitions are really big deal. So us knowing and trusting each other's hearts and the motives behind that is such a big help.
And so I would think the result has to be a greater sense of consistency for a parent, for a child to have to move through that program, that there's not those big jumps when you're moving to the next thing that have maybe some fear and uncertainty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Well, and the more we know about each other, the better we can communicate honestly with that parent. So if I'm having a conversation and I know they have a teenager, I'm able to say something. You know, Justin and I, we were just talking about this or that. And so it really, it just helps a lot with that
But
parent.
Chuck, you know, from ministry to ministry, all leaders have an opinion. All leaders have an opinion. So I have an opinion about what Tony's doing, mm-hmm. and I have an opinion about what Justin's doing.
Yeah.
But great leaders know when to voice that opinion.
Yes.
And that's tweetable, man, that, right there. I'm telling you. Think about it, man. Leaders have an opinion, but great leaders know when to voice it. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to be in the middle of what student ministry's doing, and I don't need to have an opinion about what Justin's doing. But what I do need to do is I need to be supportive. I need to be cooperating with him, because I'm going to tell you, my biggest cheerleaders are on both sides of me, and my biggest encouragers, because I fail more than I succeed. But these guys pick me up, and they help me, and they dust me off, and they tell me, go again. And that's what makes us great. I'm just going to be honest with you.
And how great is that to know that you have the support of one another?
Absolutely.
It's huge.
And you can voice that to each other in those moments when you do have the opportunity to speak in. You're going to come to one another to ask for that input.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it is fun when you're sitting down and you're meeting together, you're talking, and you know that there's no agenda from the other person. Mm-hmm. If they're speaking into your ministry, that means that they care.
That's right.
That they just want to see you excel and your ministry take off and maybe to another level. And just to point out maybe some blind spots that you may have. And that's a good thing. We need that. We need to welcome that instead of being maybe arrogant and not allowing that.
That's good.
So,
and a lot of times, you know, we don't always function in a way that's the most healthy,
right?
Within the church, we can have an element of dysfunction in having separation or division or territory or turf that we want to hang on to. You guys have released that to a degree and opened that up to each other, and you're better for it,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely agree with that.
Well, what are some of the challenges that you have faced, that you've experienced along the way? Because there has to be some bumps along the road, right?
Oh, yeah.
Moving from silos to collaboration, cooperation, connection.
Yeah.
So what are some of the challenges that you've seen, and how did you work through them?
I would say one of the big things that was a challenge, I think, at first, but has made us successful, if you want to quote-unquote successful, is our calendaring, which is a huge thing for ministries that are siloed, is everybody wants their dates and wants their thing. And so we actually calendar together to be more purposeful and intentional for our families. That was something that kind of we rolled in when this kind of first started and was a little different and a little, oh, I don't know. But it's been refreshing. It's been nice because then we can see how our events may, you know, flow into the next event for our families that we're putting on, or the next camp or the next step of things for them. And so that's been a big one. I think that was a conflict that we kind of had some issues with it maybe early on, but now is just it's a great blessing for our church and our families.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, Satan is he's the author of confusion. And so, I mean, if he can cause confusion and division among the four people sitting at this table, you know, he wins. And so we just always are fighting against that. And I mean, we know he would love to win. And we know he only disturbs and disrupts things that are going well.
Yes.
So we are always under attack, and we know that. But you know what? We're prayed up and we're prepared for those things. And we say, bring it on, because that's not something that we're going to let happen to us.
Yeah. A challenge I would say is it does mean that you have to come together a lot more. So your schedule, it means you have to meet. And it's our schedules, and so it's easy to just manage your own schedule. And when somebody else wants a meeting, that's tough.
Has a full plate.
Oh my goodness, it's ridiculous. And so when you have that, and then you have a meeting that has great value, you've got to make sure that you have meetings that are valuable. Yeah. And this is a valuable meeting for us when we can get together and we can talk. That's a challenge though, because you have to drop your agenda sometimes and what your schedule is to be a part of that, to make every effort so that we can be on the same team and on the same page with what we're doing and presenting to families. So
really, everyone has to be fully committed to this for it to work.
Absolutely.
Right? Yep. If somebody's only half in,
that's right,
they're not in.
No, that's exactly right.
Yeah,
that I agree exactly with what Justin said. Probably the meetings are the biggest challenge, but what comes out of that meeting, particularly the all-day ones, are very productive. And so there's those hashing of those ideas, lots of hashing of those ideas, but usually by the end, we've listened to everyone's idea, and it's like, oh, the lights have come on. And so it's been very productive and very profitable. And I can remember even when Doug suggested that we're going to meet all day, I just thought, wow, that's going to be really interesting. But it has been very profitable and productive.
So how often do you meet together, and for what kind of durations?
once a week is primary. So we'll have a next gen kind of meeting, and I'd say it's probably, what is it, three times out of the month that we meet. So three weeks out of the month we meet once in there for a couple of hours each time with our teams, yeah. And then it breaks down from there. And so there are different levels of when we meet and how many people are involved and those types of things. But all together on the same page, it's definitely that at least, right?
And then once a month.
And then the once a month, all day one. And that's it's a great meeting, campus. Though. And it's an off-campus, all day. And to what Melinda was saying is you walk away from there with things that we've planned together. Those are the times where we plan things together and hear the heartbeat of what you're trying to do or accomplish and speak into it. And it kind of allows you to get into that level of that meeting, you know, where it's not everybody in Next Gen. It's just kind of there to be able to then go past that on. That's a big deal. That's a big help. And it's fun to be able to see the positives and the things that come from that. Mm-hmm. So
your ministries have to be independent, right? Because you're serving in a different context, kids of different ages.
Of course.
And so you have distinctions, but you also have unity. So what are those things that you have where you're distinct, and what are the areas where you guys are unified?
Melinda, do you want to start since you're at the bottom of the age range?
Just start with your
I'm probably
y'all talk your on ramps for your like parenting thing that you do.
I'm probably the most different from all of them in a lot of ways.
Yes, she is.
And we'll just leave it at that.
The rose amongst thorns.
Yeah. But because of the age group of which, you know, we serve, there's a lot of distinctions. So our crossover isn't going to be that much. However, I have their children. But as far as...
Well, I think this is interesting because there's a lot of families who have more than one child, right?
That's
so they're going
right.
to
yeah.
have... They could have a young child in preschool. Yeah. I mean, they can have four and have one in each of your ministries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wonder the distinctions as well as the unity.
Yeah. So that is actually unifying, now that you say that. That is unifying that I have Justin's kids and Tony's kids, and I love the fact that, you know, we can do that. As far as the on-ramp, are you talking about the transition from kindergarten to first grade? Is that what you want?
No, I was thinking more like, you know, things that we have in common are there are these on-ramps where people find themselves coming in and they're finding lots of information about the different ministries. And so she can cross over and she can say, you know, here's what you're getting in. But when you move up into children, you're going to get this, and then students, you know, you're going
to
get
She's
this.
Able to speak about
she can speak about those, and it's common language that the four of us and our teams are using. So that's the commonality. Mm-hmm. But then there's these what you'd call launching pads that move from, you know, in kindergarten that goes into children, and then from children into middle school. And we could go through all of those events, but they're events, they're milestones, they're on ramps, whatever you call them. But you got to be intentional about them. And those are the commonalities, the things that are common with us that make it just it flows seamlessly through. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's some differences, and obviously because of the age ranges and the type of audience, if you want to call that we're, you know, connecting with and the families and things like that. But ultimately, I think the thing that connects us all together is that person, that next-gen minister that we have, and the idea that we are growing healthy families, all of us, however that looks, for preschool, for children, for middle school, for high school, for students, whatever. Our goal is to grow healthy families. And
so you have a common mission, vision,
absolutely, statement that you share?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, the common language. Yeah. And that's a big deal across the board for our church with some major things that we want. But then even amongst us in the next gen, common language for all of us, understanding. So families can easily grab that. That unites us. It pulls us together. And then when we do our transitions and the things between, it just makes it easy, you know, because we're speaking the same language. And so families, there's not this big change in that way.
Guys, thank you so much. There is so much to this, a lot to cover. We don't have, I wish we had an hour to play this out. In closing, for that church who's thinking about taking this plunge, moving forward, maybe it's someone from just one of the ministry areas who's listening and thinking about making that initial conversation with somebody in another ministry area. What advice would you give? Is this worth pursuing? Do it now. Do it immediately, get into it slowly. What advice would you give for that person who's saying, yeah, I think we need to move this way, but I don't know where to start?
I mean, I think somebody has to champion it, and somebody has to own it. Mm-hmm. And if somebody owns it, I think all four of us would say, you don't have to do it overnight. Take your time, move toward that, because great things happen over time. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a flash in a pan. You know, don't copy and paste what someone else is doing. You could come to our church and you may love it, but it may not work in your context. So again, I say, somebody champion it, say, I'm going to own it. We're going to make it about family. And then just begin to come up with a plan, a 3-year plan, a 2-year plan, a 1-year plan, and then just cross things off your list. And I think they're going to see that God's going to bless that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say do it. Yes, go for it. Say, yeah, we're going to do this thing. But the way that you do it's going to be, I don't know, you don't have to, like I said, do it right away. Instead, just begin to get to know the rest of the people around you.
Yeah.
Get to know the families, but get to know the other people that are on your team or around you. So then you can know their heartbeat. You've got to know them and drop your own guard a little bit and allow them to see what you're doing in your heart as well. But, yeah, it is so worth it. Your families benefit greatly, and it's not about you anyway, so it's a good thing.
Better together?
Yeah,
better
for sure.
Together.
Yeah, man. Melinda, Tony, Justin, Chad, thank you, the team from Houston's First Baptist Church. We are thrilled to have you here at the Etch Conference. Thank you for coming to sharing from your experience, sharing your knowledge with our attendees. Listener, if you are not at the Etch Conference this year, you need to come next year.
Yes, they do.
Because you need to find time face-to-face with people like this who are leading the way, blazing trails, and who are sharing their story, their experience, their testimony about what God's doing through their ministries, because it can greatly impact yours.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you for listening. Our goal always to inform, instruct, and inspire you so that you can serve with greater intentionality, better equipped for ministry in the context that God has called you to serve.